Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I'm your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me is not my co-host, Chad Riley, as normal. Today we're going to be taking a little detour. We're going to be doing things a little different. Today we're going to be having a conversation about something that's pretty much been on everybody's mind. It's been going through the circles of franchise loyalists and then everything. And so today I actually have my brother-in-law, who is actually a diehard DC fan and aficionado, Mr. Omar Merroquin, to join me for today's show. How you doing, Omar?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
You excited to talk about your true love, your one and only, your only thing? I mean, I've walked into this guy's house and he's got DC Comics framed on his walls. I mean, the man's in here. He's wearing a Batman shirt and he's got a Batman jacket on. He came to throw down. I don't think he's playing around.
So. Not bad. But yes, I love my DC. I love my Batman, and see what happens now.
So we got an exciting show for you today. So even after technical issues, step on Mariah's moment, The Filmlosophers is presented by Mingle Media TV and recorded live at VGB Studios. The Filmlosophers podcast is the perfect way to stay connected with friends near and far. Subscription is free and new episodes are available on all of your favorite platforms every week through Google Play, Audioboom, iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, and Libsyn. Come and chat with us on our social media pages. Like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101 to chat about movie news throughout the week and connect with other Filmlosophy fans. Finally, to access all of the amazing podcasts from VGB Studios, visit our website at vgbstudios.com. There you can find the entire episode library for all the Filmlosophers, Video Game Bang, and me, Mike, Self, and I. Also, if you haven't heard, we're still in the running for the amateur podcast of 2016, so head over to monkeysfightingrobots.com and cast your vote. You know what? I'm super stoked for today, and I'm ready to just get into this deep conversation with this gentleman right here. But before we do that, we gotta hit the movie news. And at the top of that list, we got the latest images released by Toys R Us show the full-size Megazord for the upcoming Power Rangers film. So fans and moviegoers have been on this kind of roller coaster ride in regards to Lionsgate and Saban's new iteration of the Power Rangers. From unique costume design to reshaping its origin story, the studio hasn't been really in sync with what fans are wanting out of this new film. Now we get a look at what many people have been wanting to see this whole time, the Megazord. So growing up, I'm sure Omar, you can attest to this. Growing up,
oh yeah,
Power Rangers was one of those shows that you ran home at 3 o'clock right after school, or you ran home on a Saturday to come and check it out, and you saw the shows and you watched them, and you were like, oh yeah, you were a Tommy fan or a Rocky fan or a Aisha fan, or which one were you?
Tommy fan.
He was a Tommy fan. Now are we talking Tommy Green Ranger or Tommy White Ranger?
Green Ranger, original.
There you go, the bad boy of the group. Well, to clarify real quick, the Megazord is the combination of all the Zords each Ranger mans. And when brought together, they create the ultimate mech power in the universe. Or so we thought. Released earlier this week by Toys R Us was an ad to promote their latest toy this season, the full Megazord from the film, including all five Zords, to create the quote, monstrous mech. So we got a chance to look at this, myself and Omar. And Omar, what's your first opinion on this thing? I got to know.
Well, my first thing I saw, and I looked at it, I'm more like, it's like literally anime knockoff of Optimus Prime. And I was like, you know what? That's, if you look at it yourself, you guys see the color and everything. It looks so identical, just as an anime style.
True. I mean, the first thing I thought when I saw this mech, I'm like, this is not the beast that we saw in television series. This is not like the monstrous thing that took form and took down like Goldar and Rita Repulsa and, you know, Lord Zedd and all these people that, you know, used to terrorize, you know, what was it, Angel Grove. And so looking at this, I'm like, this thing's like a stick figure. This is like an anorexic Megazord.
It's really a soft kind of character now. It's like, oh no, are we going to be able to see something coming out of this little character thing now? But it's just straight up anime ran.
It does. It looks really just cheesy. It looks second rate. And I'm you know what? I'm first to say, if the toy is just some kind of version of,
true,
of it, of
true.
It, then maybe, you know what? Hey, I'm open to that. But this is what they're selling me. This is what they're trying to say. Hey, come and buy the full Megazord. You don't need to buy all five pieces. You just pay $100 and you can get this one all by yourself at Toys R Us. And I'm thinking for a fan, you had mentioned something before we went on the air. You had mentioned something that, the one of the biggest things that I heard about this Power Rangers film was that they're going to take it
a little bit more darker.
A little bit more darker.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, I can see that, you know, with the funky costumes and everything. But then you show me this.
Yes, that kind of makes you wondering, scratch your head and all that good stuff after what you see on the, you know, the theatrical trailers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's like you're looking at preschool toy. This is the preschool version of what I used to play with during the 90s. It's like, I don't know. Am I just kind of being too hard on the Power Rangers right now, or what do you think? What are your thoughts, Omar?
Well, the only thing I gotta say, the individual parts are actually look really good and detail and everything, but when you look at it together, it just looks it looks more cartoonish. And you know, hopefully that, you know, like you were saying, you know, if it really just the way they want to do it as a toy, you know, if it looks like that, okay, great, that's only for a toy. But when we see the movie and it comes differently, I hope it does. So hopefully it's just such a toy. It's not official how it's going to be looking at. But again, I could be wrong too. So I hope it doesn't happen like that.
True. And I think for me, I'm still upset for the fact that there has yet to be any image released of Zordon. I want to see Bryan Cranston's head floating in a giant tube. I want to see this. I want to see Bryan Cranston just, you know, totally Walter White this entire movie and just look like, because apparently obviously Zordon was bald. I mean, he didn't have any hair, not that I knew of. They never showed him with hair. And Walter White obviously was bald because he had cancer and whatnot. And so I'm totally hoping that this is how it translates. I swear, if they make him just this floating ghost in a stupid computer or in a stupid, I'm not kidding. I will boycott this film if they totally rob me of my experience of seeing Bryan Cranston as Zordon. I mean, come on. How can you go wrong with putting Bryan Cranston, his face, as the face of Zordon?
That's something else. But again, you know, you were talking about, hey, I don't want to jump into conclusion too. You know what I'm saying? I know we all see the films, or the clips or the trailers, and we see the toy now. We don't want to just judge it right away. But again, you know, I don't want to send everybody and say, hey, let's go watch it and criticize it. Next thing you know, oh, dang, it was a different type of, you know, robotic experience, you know. But next thing you know, it's like, oh, dang, Toys R Us was right. So I'm a 50-50 on this one. I'm not really going to tell you, hey, I'm not going to boycott or nothing like that. I just want to go see, watch it, and see what's up. Because right now, for me, still looks, the original trailer looks to me like, oh, man, I want to go watch it. But with this little toy thing, makes you wondering. So I'm saying that's 50-50 on my side here.
And you bring up a really good point. I mean, yes, they haven't fully released all their trailers yet. They haven't fully released every little tidbit that they want people to, the stuff that's marketable, the stuff that's like, oh, we're going to put this on a big poster because people want to see it. And if they see it, they'll come see the movie. I don't know if you've seen the images of Alpha. Alpha looks like this funky animated, actually, now that you mention it, he looks like an animated R2-D2 on meth or something. He looks really awkward. He looks really weird. And CES, the electronic trade show that was going on this past week, they debuted actually one of the suits in a display case. And so I'm not too sold quite yet on the way the suits look.
Well, hold on. Actually, when I saw one of the previews, you know, the ones that, you know, like it almost looks like a school type of preview, you know, like they're in school and doing all that great stuff and all that.
Right now, that's the only big one that's out.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool. Like you see, oh man, it's going to be a good story. Because at first you don't think Power Rangers, you think, you know, oh, it's a mystery movie. But then when you see everything else, like, okay, I see what it is. I just hope if they keep the same concept, they don't bring the bright colors. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the thing is, if it's going to be like, you know what, let's make it more... more like, you know, not too dark, but at the same time, you know, not too colorful. The way the film, the clip was, it's like, oh, wow, it's kind of like a dark story.
Yeah.
And hopefully they changed some of the colors, but not to the point that it's going to be too bright.
True. True. And this film, the release time for this film is March 24th. So you got about roughly a little over 2 months to go. But you would figure by now, I mean, maybe they're going to do a Hail Mary in the last month and they're going to bombard like every single commercial. They're going to probably buy up space for the Super Bowl, you know, to put out something. I don't know. Okay, this is what I'm calling it right now. And this is what I'm saying on the show. If they do not. Well, first off, they have to buy the space for the Super Bowl. But if they buy the space, if they do not show what Zordon looks like in the actual, because I heard the rumors. Yeah, there was apparently some kind of funky virtual reality thing while they were showing the suit out at CES. They're doing this little virtual reality thing, and you could be in like the cave, apparently the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin, which happens to double as the place where the Rangers go, and you could see what Zordon looks like from afar. That's cute. That's fine. That's probably all edited and pre-processed and everything. If they do not show Zordon's face by the time the Super Bowl comes around, I swear to you, I will not go and see this film.
What about like a 15-second little preview, little teaser of the head is going to be about to turn and it says, boom, Power Rangers, just to tease you. Will you take that too? Because, you know, a lot of films do that. They wait till the last minute to almost, they don't want to reveal too much. They just want to keep you in that suspense so you can spend their money. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, think about it. Like a head's about to turn, you're like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna see," and then boom, Power Rangers.
Oh, that would suck royally, because then I'm in a position where technically I did see half of his head, but I didn't see his full head. You know, I don't know. They're probably gonna do like one of those God things where every time they show God on TV, his face is like blurred out or in a comic, and they're like, "Oh, this is Zordon." And it's like it's a head with a light in the center. I don't know.
It's a good thing. See, it keeps everybody in mystery. Think about that. I mean, it's like, yeah, you want to go see it, but you don't want to get bummed out. But at the same time, what if you see it right now? I'm like, am I gonna expect that? You know, even better when I see it in the movie theaters. I mean, it looks like you don't want to be surprised. You actually want to go see it and see how it is now, which is fine. Yeah. But I'm just saying, for me, I want to be surprised. That's just me. I just think I want to see something like, you know what? I want to see how this is going to look at the movie theaters before anything happens. As soon as I see it, I could either be surprised or be like, oh my God, really? So true. We don't know. That's my theory. I'm not saying how they're going to,
That's a very popular, you know, opinion. And you know what? Hey, more power to everybody. I'm the type that this is my mindset. You're promising Elizabeth Banks. You're promising a reiteration of this beloved TV show during the 90s. You're promising you have the company who originally started the Power Rangers, Saban, on board with this. What else is there left to do? You need to deliver on what you're saying. You need to deliver on what you're promising, on what you're doing here. Because right now, I'm in a place where I'm like, I see all the right pieces and all the right ingredients, but I need to make sure that this cake bakes, you know, because if not, then we're really in a pretty big pitfall when it comes to movies, because it's like, what else is there to expect?
You know, I'm going to throw a curveball here, but it almost remembers the first time we all wanted to see Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were kind of teasing you for a while, and then they show a couple robots in here and all that. And then I know they say they changed some big characters. And look what happened, like a month towards the, you know, premiere, they reveal a couple, you know, the main villains. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be pretty good. So hopefully with your theory at the Super Bowl or maybe after just like a couple, you know, a couple weeks before opens, they actually reveal the big thing you want to see. And if they do, good. Now they're going to say, yeah, we need this now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But I know what you're trying to say. You want to re- you want to see it before you, so you can believe it.
Yeah, I want to see the proof in the pudding.
That's good.
And I'm not looking for it to sell me. I'm just looking for it to entice me enough to let me know the dinner is worth the wait. So
that's good.
But like I said, the film is set to release on March 24th of this year. So we will keep our fingers crossed, our hands to the air, and our whatevers and whatnots, and in all hopes that, God willing, this movie delivers.
It will be okay.
But that does lead us to our feature presentation. I did mention that we were going to be talking about something that's very near and dear. That's something that's very very on the tips of everybody's tongue nowadays, especially with the way this past year of 2016 began. There's this conversation. It's almost like a gentle whisper that's going on amongst a lot of moviegoers, a lot of many franchise fans, people who definitely just know that they want to be a part of the bigger picture, I guess. And one of the biggest things that tends to come up in terms of that is the franchise wars. You know, one thing that we've always made you, the fans, very aware about this show is that we're not really loyal to any one franchise. Whether if it were Star Wars versus Star Trek, vampires versus werewolves, Pixar versus Illumination, Westerns versus sci-fi, and of course, most of all, DC versus Marvel. We're not loyal to anything but the film itself, and that includes a combination of great storytelling, casting, cinematography, and pulling from their resources. So with me is this esteemed gentleman who makes it a part of his life's work to make the world aware how incredible DC is and how the world should give them, in terms of DC, more chances than they've been given. I've heard him as well as his other friends discuss at great lengths about how much this franchise means to them and how it is their preferred franchise of choice. So we decided that we honestly, us here at the Filmlosophers, we didn't give Batman vs. Superman or Suicide Squad high marks. But we're willing to discuss it with Omar, or I'm willing to discuss it, about how people are getting it incorrectly and where these guys, where Omar, can educate. So it's time to hear the tale of the other franchise. And mind you, I mean other franchise in terms of the franchise that's not so much on the tips of most people's tongues when it comes to praise and when it comes to talking about, you know, all the things that DC has done. So we're going to kind of get into this a little bit and just really discuss what it all means to be a DC fan, you know, and pretty much where their take is, especially on the films. So before we go, though, you know how we like to do. We're going to give you just a little bit of backstory, a bit on what DC is all about, where DC started. So DC actually began as National Allied Publications, which was founded in the autumn of 1934. It had created three titles at the time, the first one being New Fun, the big comic magazine, number one. It created New Comics, number one, which turned into Adventure Comics, and Detective Comics. After financial issues, the company ended up merging with another investor and ended up changing the name of the company to Detective Comics, Inc., or DC. Soon after, it debuted its fourth title, which it's more one of its more iconic titles, Action Comics, which is the one that their first issue was the debut of Superman, the number one. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yes.
So, Omar, why don't you tell me a bit? You've been a diehard DC fan for a good amount of time, right?
Yes. But let's get one thing clear. You know what? I am a movie go watcher like, you know, yourself and everybody else. I am going to be my own critic. You know, everything I say is kind of my opinion. But at the same time, you know, I have to back up some of the things, you know. You know, all fans and all, you know, critics will say, you know, for example, you know, I am going to go watch Marvel, Pixar, Disney, you name it, any kind of thing. And at the end, I'll be like, hey, cool. You know, we could be a judgmental. I've been more critical about the way critics been saying, you know, either good or mediocre things about movies that came out last year. Mm-hmm. You know what? It was, it was a quick splash and all that. We were all anticipated. You know, everything was great, like myself. And you know what? I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go there with an open mind. And then later on, we'll come out. And yes, I was a big fan. And I saw the movies. And I was really happy to see them. And then, unfortunately, there was a negativity. And that's when I stepped in.
It's true, and it's been a back and forth kind of deal with myself, Omar, Chad, a couple of other of his friends. Not like in a negative light. Like we're not over here doing West Side Story, you know, snapping fingers and trying to fight in the middle of the street while doing dancing. No.
Yes.
The way we discuss it and we go to great lengths to understand each other's perspective and their stake in the whole claim of their DC loyalty or their loyalty to the stories that they like and the films that they like. And it just so happens that a lot more of your favorite tales, a lot of your favorite storylines fall in the DC franchise as opposed to the Marvel. And that's totally fair to say. That's not to say that, oh, it's because, you know, you hate on Marvel or anything. It's just you have more of an allure. I mean, you're wearing Batman. So, I mean, I dare to say that it's pretty clear to say that Batman is one of your favorite.
He is my ultimate favorite character. I loved it how they came out with it in 89. That made, let's be honest, if it wasn't for that film, mm-hmm. none of these other films would come, you know, at about. Yes, there was the bad ones too. But again, every franchise has a bad one. So Spider-Man 3. But anyways, I was going to say one thing, you know, going back to, you know, the DC Wars or the Marvel War. The only thing I got to say, let's be all honest here. Mm. When it comes to DC, you know you're going to get a little bit more darker, maybe too much story sometimes. I admit that. But, you know, when it comes to Marvel, my personal opinion, I told this to Eddie, mm-hmm. is more colorful, more like you want to take, you know, your three-year-old nephew to watch, you know, all these Marvel movies, exception of, Deadpool. But yeah. Other than that, you know, it's like, you know, be honest, you want to take a three-year-old to a movie, you know, you're going to say Avengers, or you're going to take him to, you know, Batman and Superman, a little bit darker. Maybe they'll think about it. Or the best example would be like Avengers or Suicide Squad. You know what I mean? That's why I believe that movie right there was highly criticized because it was a little bit too dark. It was a little bit too much. But I know everybody expected like so much storyline for every single character. Mm-hmm. I'm going to that movie first things first. But for me, watching that, I was in awe to have an all cast of bad guys. Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion, DC has the best bad guys, hands down. If you go out to a mall and you go look to anybody and say, hey, who's the number one character, bad guy, think about anything DC? Everybody pops their head, Joker. Boom, got it. You tell anybody, like, you know, Marvel character, you throw a, you know, villain out there, hey, you know Dr. Octopus? And they'll be like, no. You know, I'm just saying that. I'm just...
Yeah, no.
The villains are well known in the DC, okay? Marvel, it's, you know, they're coming... They have their moments too. But I just... My personal opinion, through the movies, I believe Marvel's more colorful. They want to show more, like, you know, they want to sell more to the kids. Batman, yes. Batman and the new, you know, the new stuff that's coming out right now is pushing a lot, and I'm glad they are. But again, people still don't get it. Why? You know, hey, this is dark. This is a little bit more
true,
and I only thing I want to and another thing we want to talk about is that none of the movies, including DC and Marvel, follow the comics. They try so hard. So that's one of the criticism I had when people were saying when Batman and Superman came out, they were criticizing, they didn't follow this, they didn't follow that. I'm all, really? Let's go back. That's why I don't like to throw. Okay, if DC did that, they didn't follow whatever they had to follow. What about Marvel?
So let's start with this. So first things first. What do you think, personally, are the common misconceptions about the DC Cinematic Universe? What is it that people are not understanding that you think is causing them to run away from the films or whatnot? What is the one thing, do you think, in terms of the films, not the overall, like, comics,
okay,
but in terms of the films, what do you think it is that people are not just understanding in terms of why they should go see it? What is your personal opinion?
I believe it's actually the characters. Everybody who goes to see a DC, especially, I'm going back to Suicide Squad. I think half majority of people went to see that movie. They didn't even know the characters. So for a person to go watch a movie like that, excuse me, you need to have a more like an open mind before you start criticizing a movie. Because if you're going to go watch a movie, you don't know nothing about it, and you see something, you're like, I still don't know nothing about. They should have told me more about this character, this character, this character, this character. Then, you know, that makes it more confusing. Because, you know, you go watch a Marvel movie, you kind of know what you're going to expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And I know Marvel had a longer run, so that's why they introduced characters slowly. And that's the only thing I would think people don't get, because DC just put it all together and threw it out there to see what they think. And that's why I believe half of the people are not knowledgeable of the actual characters besides Superman and Batman.
You're saying so for the fact that they threw everybody in together in one film instead of giving everybody their own kind of start?
Yes,
individually.
Yes, I think so. But the thing is, you know, you can't do that with a movie with a bunch of bad guys and doing separate ones, except for like if it's a Joker. We'll talk about that later. But that's the thing I'm talking about, that if you're going to do something unique and something different, you know, they just said, you know what, let's put it together. Let's see what happens. And honestly, I believe that that was the reason why there was a lot of bad things. And no one knew about those characters and they want to know more about it. And they say, well, the storyline was this, the storyline. Well, if you do that, now you're making a 7 or 8 hour movie now. But again, that's just my opinion.
So, I mean, and it's a true thing. I mean, you hit on a lot of good solid points there. You hit on a lot of important details. And I think it's true. One of the biggest things that people tend to over-speculate, I guess, they overthink, is that if a film seems to be too packed with too many things, too many characters, I guess, too many plot points, people tend to get, you know, a little overstimulated. It's like nobody wants to go see a movie that has 12 different plot points and every single plot point is important to know by the end of the film so you can be able to understand what's going on in the second film. And that tends to happen. I mean, but you did hit on something, though, earlier. I do think that the fact goes to Marvel, to the fact that they did have a head start. They did kind of begin quite out a bit more, starting in 1999, I believe, with the first X-Men film.
X-Men, yes, correct.
And even then, you were saying about how DC's darker, but I don't know if you remember the first Iron Man back in 2007, when that one debuted. I mean, you got Tony Stark in a prison camp.
You know,
during the Iraqi war, during the war going on.
Yes.
And he's literally shooting insurgents and terrorists, you know, and he's making he's trying to get out. First off, he's burning people alive with his flamethrower. And then even after that, when he's got a full his first version or
yes,
second version,
yes,
suit,
when he comes back, all that comes back, yeah,
when he comes back to the other side of the world, wherever he is, and he ends up like shooting the crap out of all those terrorists that were doing something on that side of the world. I'd say that's pretty dark. I'd say that kind of lends to a little bit of the dark, because one thing that I wanted to understand is the progression of a film tends to kind of show an evolution. You know, if you have a long saga like this, things change over time. I'm trying to remember if any of the other films that had started out, if they had any of those also kind of like dark tendencies, because it started out dark and over time it transitioned into a little bit more of a lighter, more, oh crap, we got kids that are watching this, let's kind of ease down this and move in that direction.
See, that's where you hit the, you know, you hit it right there right now, because here's the thing is, individual characters from Marvel, yes, I love, you know, I'll be honest with you, I love the origins. You know, I think everybody wants to know a good character. That I want to know, hey, Iron Man, awesome. Spider-Man, the first one came out, awesome, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start developing, I will say, it got more, you know, colorful when it came to like the Avengers, you know, part two, you know, and Civil War. You know how critical I was with that movie.
Very true.
And then here's the thing is, I'm just saying to myself, if you're going to be a fan of a movie that you want to expect a lot, but you're going to go say, hey, you know what? You know, let's go watch the Avengers. Oh, the greatest movie of all time. You know, that time, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, oh, had this, had that. But it's like, really? You're going to see something with, you know, explosions, you know, people fighting, defending, doing things that, you know, is impossible to do. And DC does the same thing, but yet they get criticized because, you know, oh, they needed to build a plot. They needed to build a better story. Oh, we need to know about these characters. But the same thing happened with Marvel. I mean, I'd be honest, like, I don't think there hasn't been a team, you know, movie that has been badly criticized for Marvel. And I think it's time to like realize and say, really, what are we really watching? Are we watching a movie that is going to be like, you know what, is going to be straight up like a blockbuster explosions and all that, then we just say, you know what? Then we also think high level Transformers. That's what it is. Explosions, colorful, people fighting, people getting together, everything happy and endy. It happens to DC. It's like, oh, we've seen this before. We've seen that before. But yet they continue doing the same thing. I'm just that's my personal opinion with that. With the group movies like that.
Yeah. Where, in your own opinion, where do you think the DC cinematic universe began? In terms of, are you the type that looks at Man of Steel and say, okay, that's where it began? Or are you the type that says, oh, it started at BVS? Or are you the type that says, well, it started with the animated? Or do you want to go back to 1989 and
exactly.
say...
Exactly. No, that was a good question, actually. You know what? The best thing for me to say, if it wasn't for that movie, I mean, I was in fifth grade when that movie came out. I'm thinking Batman. I'm thinking, you know... When you're that kid, you start thinking about you know the cartoons you see. We know Batman with Scooby Doo, or you know the '60s Batman shows. You think it's gonna be something like that, you know? And me, I guess as a kid, you know, I went to watch it, and when I saw how everything was, like, whoa, this is actual like a mystery movie, a dark movie. And I guess that was my thing, you know. And I really knew, you know, Tim Burton making dark things, so we expected. Heavily criticized Batman, you know, actor that time. And you know what? When you went to see the movie and you see it together, it's like, oh my God, this thing is pretty awesome. That was me.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So then, you know what? I said, you know what? Hopefully they do something better the next time. And they did. Batman Returns. And unfortunately, you know, there was the other Batmans in the mid-90s. We'll talk about that some other time. But then, you know, you got a good point too. Then the animated came out. Hands down, people still love that. It was heavily, you know... appraise. And what came out of that, dude? Think about that. What came out of that animated thing? Probably the greatest voices of all time.
True. Very true.
And that's what I'm saying. If that's a unique stuff people don't know about. You see a uniqueness of the, you know, the movie, then they make the animated thing could be like, oh man, a little too dark, but people loved it. And then you got introduced to the Joker. Oh my. Took it to a different level. And since then, I've been, you know, a loyal, you know, fan of Batman, you know. And then after that, I got to know more of DC characters. And, you know, like any other fan waiting this long time, I couldn't wait to see, like, you know, the new, you know, Batman versus Superman. Finally, we get to see it. And,
yeah.
You know, I have to go back to the 89, how I fell in love with everything because of, you know, what I just said.
And talking about Batman versus Superman, we kind of hit on a little bit of about the DC films that came out this past year. Were you satisfied with the ones that came out this past year? Not just in terms of the live action, but also, I mean, because there was an animated film that came out this past year as well. Yes. That got widely criticized for the direction of the story that took. How are you coming out of this year in terms of with DC and what they've put out already?
Yes, I was really, out of all the DCs that I saw and I heavily thought, I was like, wow, I could, you know, I'm glad they're gonna go this route and hopefully they change, you know, storylines, was Suicide Squad. That was the one that was really happy, because, you know, once again, to see a bunch of bad guys that you remember seeing, they come by together, I was happy to see that. Batman and Superman, we all knew it was just an introduction pretty much about all what's going to happen in DC Universe. And I think that's the reason why people didn't go like, oh, we want to see just a nice story and then happy ending. But no, it was a straight up, you know, introduction, slowly the introduction to what's going to happen. And let's be honest, it probably had the best introduction to Wonder Woman, probably one of the heftiest women out there to come out. And to do that introduction in that film, no one says anything positive about that. Think about it. The most highly anticipated female character, powerful character coming out.
We went off on that.
Okay, good.
For us, that was one of the redeeming qualities of the film. Not that... Yeah, that was one of the redeeming qualities
I heard.
with that film. Because honestly, I mean, the way they introduced her, the way they, you know, brought her in, the music, oh my gosh, the way the music came in and just... She wasn't this over hulking type of woman. She wasn't, though, this petite little supermodel type.
Exactly.
I mean, this woman threw down.
But see, seeing that movie, seeing that, you know, when Wonder Woman was introduced slowly, doesn't that make you wonder, like, oh, man, I want to see what's up with her now? You know what I'm saying? Because we haven't seen that. Even me as a fan of more of a Batman, you know, or the bad guys of Batman, but to be introduced to another female character that's saying, you know what, this is how she's going to be. Wait till it comes to, you know, the next story, and then be like, wow, I cannot wait. That's one thing I, you know, people need to know. And actually, I think people are going to say, you know what, I'm going to check that out now. And I think Batman and Superman did a great job on making a great introduction for her. Yes, the other stuff, it was just cinematic stuff that people criticize instead of the actual, you know, the whole universe. We're going to see what's going to happen next. And they kind of show you at the end. And it's going to be one of those same stories. Okay, we know what to expect, but we don't. That's my thing.
Here's kind of the money question. This is kind of the question that would probably tick off any normal DC fan, but you're not a normal DC fan. We've already established that. Is there, in your opinion, do you think there's a problem with DC and WB? In DC, when I mean by DC, I mean like DC Entertainment, the studio that's putting the films out.
I don't think so. If it wasn't for WB, they're actually, besides filming, mm-hmm. they're also bringing shows, combining, you know, that. And no one's, I mean, look at Arrow.
Yeah.
Look at Arrow, WB, DC, you know, look at Flash. You know, certain things that people don't know. Yeah, film is film. But if you want to compare DC and WB, WB is doing a fabulous job getting all these shows. You know what? We might not get an actual film from Arrow, but you still want to look at their show and say, wow, this is pretty good. You know, maybe you thought, you know, let's try Flash. Look what happened. Pretty good. Supergirl. I know a lot of people iffy on that one, but still it's out there. You know, people could watch it. You know, WB is doing a great job since the beginning with the cartoons, the movies. And I believe if something major happens with DC in the films, in upcoming films, if they're going to go different routes, you still got to give them credit for what they're doing in the small market.
So then what do you think then here's the thing then. What is it that's having them trip up so much that they're having trouble translating their success from TV to the big screen? Because you're right. I love Flash. I love Arrow. Oh, yeah. I love Arrow. I'm getting into Supergirl now. I've seen a couple episodes getting into that. I'm liking the crossovers and everything. And then not to mention they just announced that they're going to make a Constantine animated series.
Yes.
Which should be interesting.
And Justice League Dark,
that animated film that's going to be coming out.
Yes.
So what is it that they're doing that isn't translating to their on-screen counterparts? Like, I'm gonna be real with you, and I told Chad the same thing, and actually I've told you this a couple times. I want to have a solid DC cinematic franchise. I would love to see, you know, Batman on the big screen done in a cinematic universe. I would love to see them do Superman in a cinematic universe. I would love for them to do it. To do the Wonder Woman, you know, Cyborg, Aquaman, you know, a proper Green Lantern, for the love of God, a proper Green Lantern.
That I do agree.
You know, Aquaman, just all these different characters. I would love for them to flourish and come to fruition in this awesome cinematic universe. But the problem is that they just can't seem to translate that well.
Well, it's almost like you're going back with the Marvel Universe. When they remember, they were, before they started going on their own, their biggest gamble, they said they're going to go on their own and bring a new character who was like in and out of rehabs and all that good stuff. And they say, you know what? We're going to make our first feature, just Marvel Universe, was Iron Man. No, they didn't expect to make that much money. Let's be honest. They were out there. They said, let's go see what happens with this. And they'll make their own universe. Marvel started because of that character. And look what happened. It blew up, and later on they brought more characters. It blew up. Now they have their own kind of, you know, literally their own universe now. If DC does that, and unfortunately they started a little late, they got late in the party because, you know, they've been like almost what? Since Spider-Man came out and Iron Man came out, it's been almost 10 or 15 years kind of late to the party. But you know what? Anything could happen if any of these movies, they come out and they start saying, you know what? We see our own kind of thing. So let's cut these guys out. Let's try our own universe. Like it happened with the Marvel, and it could happen. But I'm not saying it will and it shouldn't, because again, they're a little late to the party.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, that's I think the biggest problem, and this is my own opinion, the biggest problem that DC will currently has and will always have is that they are always going to be behind the eight ball in terms of time-wise. Because you keep hitting it on the head that Marvel has had a very large head start. And it's true. They've had a very substantial head start. There's been several DC films. There's been several DC animated shows. The problem is there's no linking them into one cinematic universe. And what happens is that you'll have pieces here, pieces there. I mean, we had an interesting trilogy by Christopher Nolan not too long ago with Christian Bale,
yeah.
Which you weren't really a big fan of the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Omar is probably one of the few people I know who despises the Heath Ledger's performance Joker. As the Joker. And that's for a whole different show. Cause
oh, yeah.
That'll but so in terms of time, I think their biggest problem is going to be always that space of time and them realizing that there is a fan base that wants to see them actually create this cinematic universe. The problem is that they also want to, I guess, catch up. They want to play catch up. They want to do all these different films. They want to push all this out to establish the franchise, not so much as begin a franchise, but to establish. Because, like, you know, you had the Iron Man film, you had the Hulk film, the second Hulk film. We're not talking about the Hulk with Ang Lee and all that. We're talking about Edward Norton,
yeah.
And which changed to Mark Ruffalo, which is another conversation that me and Omar will have on this show later, because Omar is not a big fan of Mark Ruffalo. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we'll get into that one for another time.
You know what, Eddie? I'm going to say this right now. We're talking about filming and how Marvel is ahead of the curve, which we know that they have enough financial support to do whatever they want to do next. You know, they came up with great ideas like Guardians of the Galaxy, which blew people away. So they get more and more and more. So DC, yet, is to show that in the movies. Okay.
Yeah.
But what have they done outside of that?
Marvel?
No, DC.
Oh.
Check this out. Here's one thing that people need to know this. You know, me as a fan, you know, they are known. They made probably the best video game of all time with Arkham series, all the series.
True.
You know what? They got the perfect cast. Everybody thought, again, it's going to be a colorful video game. And look what happened. Blew up. People want to buy, want to play, whatever. Awesome. Great. Then they came out with all their movies, all the cartoon movies, all the cartoon shows. They're coming out all, like we just talked about, all the WB shows.
Yeah.
There's so much outside, but yet, you know, they're not fully loaded like Marvel is in the, you know, in the movies right now. Do we see anything in Marvel right now outside of that? Do we see a great Marvel video game out there? Do we see a great cartoon or show out there for Marvel? It's kind of rare because, you know, what else can you do, you know, besides Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's not technically characters you want to see. You know,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Besides movie things, yeah, they're catching up slowly. But like, man, they hit a home run with the video games. They hit a home run with the cartoon movies. They hit a home run with the TV shows out there. And you know what? When you go shopping, what do you see majority of the stuff out there is people sell and, you know, merchandise? Batman, Wonder Woman, stuff that sells. I'm talking about outside of that. People don't know this. DC is blowing up with the other things they're selling outside. But yet you see it everywhere. You know, Marvel, yes, they have their toys and their movies. That's the way I see it in today's world. But again, if you want to go with, you know, everything about DC, let's talk about everything. Video games, TV shows, cartoons, toys, merchandise. They're out there. Even documentaries. There's more documentaries about DC characters, people trying to be like Batman, going to the hospital, Bad Kid Begins. Come on, stuff like that. People don't see that. It's like we all could relate to a Batman character. We all are like a human that want to help out others. And I believe that's the reason why I love Batman. And that's the reason why I want to be out there and say, you know what? If Batman could do it, I could do it too to help, you know, certain things. I'm not talking about go doing crazy things too. I'm just being in general, like we all could relate to that character. And the other thing is, you know, again, I'm not trying to say, you know, DC, everybody vote for DC. No, I'm just saying, look what's around you first and then check it out and then come back. Say, you know what? You know, that video game was right. He was right. You know, Arkham City, awesome. Oh, you know what? That movie, a cartoon movie we saw, pretty good. You know, oh, that new TV show that came out on WB, you know what? Hands down, pretty good. You know, that's what thing is. Look outside the movies too.
So you would personally say that you feel like the DC cinematic universe can only go up from here. There's things to look forward to. It's not like a dying duck. It's not something that's going to be.
No, it's not. Know. No, it's not. I think, you know, the biggest surprise, and this is one of the thing is, I believe that the biggest movie that's going to change a lot of in the DC and people are going to be proud of it is Wonder Woman. You know, that's going to be one. Everybody's thinking Justice League. We know what Justice League is. But how are we going to see this Wonder Woman? Who's going to see Wonder Woman? What people are going to say about Wonder Woman? That's like the best mystery right there. You know, that's why I believe if it starts like individual characters now, people are going to fall in love. If that works out, I'm not saying will or not. If Wonder Woman works out, especially for the females out there, think about going to say, you know what? I can't wait to see her in Justice League. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And slowly they'll break the ice if that movie succeeds. You know, I'm not saying, you know, go watch it and be like the best thing ever. No, I'm just saying I can't wait to see that movie. I cannot wait to see that with my wife. She's the one to say, you know what?
That's true.
That's the movie I want to see because we have a female power finally. And again, hopefully they do a great job. So the next thing you know, they say, my wife will be like, babe, I'm going to watch Justice League now because I want to see what's going to happen with that. You know, that's what I'm saying. She loved that part when she came out and blocked the shields with the, you know, and the Batman was just Superman. And that's why I saw my wife. She was like, oh my gosh, she was clapping and cheering. And I said, you know what? I hope people feel that way when that movie really shows her character. And hopefully, and, you know, it builds a little love for DC later on. And next thing you know, all the other movies come out. And next thing you know, they'll be trying to catch up to Marvel. I'll be simple as that, you know?
That's true. And of course, This is the beginning of a much larger conversation because as most of our fans know, Chad is a large Marvel fan, and I wanted to give a chance to Omar to really kind of solidify where he's at in terms of, you know, the overall his fandom in terms of DC and what it is about that he likes and appreciates and that he, you know, that keeps him coming back. And you know, sometimes hearing the other side of things really does give you a better perspective as, in terms of what fans are looking for and so forth. So like I said, this is the beginning of a much larger conversation. We'll get into more of this later. But that does bring us to our special segment that is titled...
Final Countdown.
That's right, folks. We're going to get into that final countdown that only you love. The final countdown that gets you going, that gets you rolling, that gets you moving. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Filmlosophers.
It's the final countdown.
Nice.
Yes. So with all this talk about DC, it goes without saying that DC has a huge pool of resources to pull from in terms of storytelling. So we're going to take some of the greatest stories, in our own opinion, and give our top three stories that we'd love to see put on the big screen. It's the Filmlosophers final countdown. So, let's see. Omar, let's go ahead and go with you in your number three spot. What would you like to see?
For DC, I want to see a Flashpoint Paradox movie, you know, because it's DC's dark. Let's come on. Bringing that new universe, an alter universe, would be a great, great watch to see and all that. And I would think it would be a great opportunity to show differing sides of universes like every other movie is doing. So I'll be awesome to see as one of those movies.
And which one was that?
Flashpoint Paradox.
Okay, so that's your number three.
Yes.
All right. Well, my number three, honestly, I was talking about this on the show not too long ago. My number three probably has to be Hush. I'm a big fan of the Batman story arcs that he has, and Hush is one of those ones that just really, it's one of those stories that's just so interesting, and it gets you going all the way to the very end. It's more on the level of detective in terms of Batman rather than the action fighting and the style and all that, and I think that one hits for me pretty close to the heart. I really like that one, so that'd be my number three. Let's go with number two.
For me, number two, another DC queen that we all need to see in another group, you know, another group team, it's going to be, you know, Teen Titans or Justice League teams. You know, I want to see an actual film with all these, you know, like, let's be honest, sidekick characters, but they have their own ability. Like, they have their own say, you know what? we want to do our own thing. So we're going to make our own team. And then finally, we see a live animated, live action movie about him with, you know, Robin, you know, young Cyborg, Superboy, you know, Martian Manhunter's niece, you know, all those characters combined together, you know, Aqua Lad, you know, stuff like that. We want to see other characters that say, you know what, we just know him as psychic. But yet when you see him, this like, oh, damn, they're different. You know,
true.
That's what I want to see. I want to see an actual teen group that say, you know what, let's make our own thing and show the world that we're not just sidekicks. That's my second thing. I would love to see if DC could think of something like that.
That's actually a really good one. I'd actually be interested in that one too. For me, my number two would probably have to be Blackest Night with Green Lantern, and done right. I would love to see them actually create this storyline and really put it to good use, because there's so much that's in this particular series that you can't really like. You can't, and of course this goes hand in hand with Blackest Night, and then you have Brightest Day. But Blackest Night, I felt, really kind of hit a lot of those dark parts that you were talking about, a lot of those dark crevices that DC's known for. And you know, I think they could do a successful version of this with the right tools. So that brings us to our top number one spot. And of course, you know, this is going to go without saying that this is probably the one of our most favorite storylines in the entire history of history.
Yes.
So, Omar, why don't you give it to me? Your number one.
My number one to be an actual live action movie, a dark and perfect settings to all major bad guys. I would love to see The Killing Joke as a live action movie. You know, think about it, a dark story about him, you know, then comes back what he does crazy to, you know, everything he does, and in the actual comic book, the cartoon movie. And I'll think about it, bringing that out to a live action with actual good actors, good storyline, hopefully following the actual Killing Joke, you know, the 80s and the, you know, the current cartoon one. And at the same time, building a character for Joker. Who wants, come on, Joker, a story about Joker. I think I'm just, you know, telling about, you know, a crazy lunatic awesome character to see in a live action movie. And that's my ultimate thing to see. I guess I'm into villains, but he's the ultimate villain.
That's a good one. That one actually would have been one of mine. Because of the fact that, you know, I'm a huge Alan Moore fan. Alan Moore is the guy who created Swamp Thing, and that entire graphic novel was just so incredible.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I mean, just to even put out there the fact that it literally turned the DC universe up on its head because of the fact that it ended up becoming canon. So things had to change in terms of like the understanding of what actually happened at the end of the comic, because, you know, you have Barbara Gordon, who does end up becoming Oracle because she got shot. They made that canon. And so the kind of quote unquote killing at the end, or did he kill him at the end or did he not?
Yes, yes.
And that had to be like kind of wiped a little bit to make it work for like the overall story.
But if you want to make a better story with good, you know, good plot, good everything, I believe you have to throw a rated R, you know, on it. Because you know what? If you really want to make that killing joke with that crazy, the dark side, you make it a rated R, people are going to be like, wow, this is like, you know, like we didn't expect that. If you make it, yeah, we want everybody to see it, PG-13, I think it's going to send a bad message of how, you know, jerk it really is. That's just my personal opinion. If you want to, you know, you want to throw a good storyline, make it a rated R, show the true darkness, craziness. And you know what? It'll be like, oh man, I'm afraid to see that. But exactly. You want to throw a good story? That's what people want to see. They want to see darkness. They want to see something crazy.
Yeah.
And so at the same time, want to see like, wow, this guy, now we know why he's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But it comes with that kind of rating, for my personal opinion.
For me, I might throw you for a loop. This is similar to kind of what you were talking about in terms of except a little bit flipped. This is kind of the catalyst for a whole different direction that DC is going. And they just finished this series recently, which segued into the, and I might be giving you hints, it segued into the sequel to the game that they made of it. I'd love to see Injustice, Gods Among Us,
yes,
done as a movie.
That,
to see that whole entire thing, just where Joker ends up killing, and then you got the event where Superman just plunges his plunges his hand right through Joker's chest and kills him, and that throws everything all into disarray. And I think that that hands down for me would have to be the most incredible DC film. Like, if somebody decided to do this as like a fan film, I would throw all my money at them and tell them to figure out a theater to put it on, and I'd watch the heck out of it.
You know, bringing that up, I totally forgot about that. You know what? Seeing that actually will be really, especially how I love dark stuff and all that. You just threw a great curveball. Seeing an evil Superman.
Yeah.
You know,
a
Joker joining with Batman to get something out there. Flash is, you know, like,
Flash is going back and forth in terms of what,
you know,
is,
what
loyalty
I
lies.
Never thought about that. Now that you bring it out, that would be so great to see. They did a great job with the storyline of the video game. Imagine that, especially with the comic books right after that video game.
They kept it all the way up, and
it was just a twisted world when you never thought, oh, you know what, pretty boy Superman is like, oh, and like he's gonna save the world. No, he's the one is actually making the craziness, and you're getting helped by Joker. That's actually a great, I never thought of that, man. Eddie, you got me surprised on that one. That was actually great.
Yeah, and you take that type of story arc, you take that type of film, and you show it to people, and like kind of like what you were saying, you're unveiling a whole new face to what's going on with the story currently, because this just recently ended in a recent series. They just literally this past year ended that run so that people could flock to GameStop or wherever your local game shop is at to purchase the sequel or pre-order the sequel. So
that is really true, man. I'm one of them.
But that about wraps up another great show for the Filmlosophers. You know what? If you have any thoughts about the show, drop us a line on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Filmlosophers or on our Twitter page at twitter.com/Filmlosophy101. Also, don't forget to vote on monkeysfightingrobots.com for your amateur podcast of 2016. I'd like to thank my guest, Omar.
Omar Merrill Quinn.
You are awesome. This was a great conversation, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have you back on here so we can do this again.
Thank you.
Because I know Chad is once he hears this episode, he will like drop everything he's doing. He's probably going to call me and like, you did this episode without me.
Yes, yeah,
that,
Chad.
Chad doesn't really sound like that. You guys know he's like more like, he did this episode without me. But either way, Omar, where can people find you at?
Yes, guys, if you guys want to follow me, go to Twitter. Follow me at Coach Omar 1921. Once again, at Coach Omar 1921.
Well, there you go. This was an awesome conversation. It was really cool to talk about the other side of things, the other side of what we normally kind of bring up here on the show, and it was awesome. So you know what, I want to give Omar my big thanks. I'm glad you can make it out. I'm glad
you
know, and like I said, this is probably not the end you're going to hear from him. So yeah, if you have any opinions on the show too as well, drop us a line or subscribe to our podcast on all the platforms we mentioned earlier. This was an awesome show. This was a great time, and you know what? We got to do more of these. You know, we got to do more of these little conversations back and forth. So, but that about wraps up another great episode. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie,
and I'm Omar. Once again, DC
class dismissed.
Amen. See ya.